We begin today to look at a belief that is very common in religion. It is the doctrine of premillennialism. This word, obviously, is not in the Bible. So what does the word mean? Well, when you look at a breakdown of the word millennial means 1,000. And the word pre means before. So the idea of premillennialism is that this is the belief that Jesus will come secretly to rapture all Christians from the earth, that this will be followed by 7 years of the worst tribulation the world has ever known, and that then Jesus will come back and set up the kingdom of Israel for 1,000 years as the greatest kingdom on earth, during which time there will be unparalleled peace and prosperity as Jesus rules the world with a rod of iron. We know that millions of people believe this idea. The question is it really taught in the Bible? So what we want to do right now is to open up our Bible and look at some plain, basic facts about this issue in the Word of God. Let's begin in the book of Matthew, and we're going to start in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible talks about John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And in verse 2, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now remember that the idea of premillennialism says that sometime in the future, Jesus is going to set up the kingdom of Old Testament prophecy. Well, almost 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist said that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That means that John the Baptist preached that the kingdom was near, not 2,000 years in the future, but nearby. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says that Jesus preached the same thing. Look at Matthew 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Again, Jesus said the same thing that John the Baptist preached, and that is that the kingdom of heaven was near. It was near for them living in the first century. Now then, let's turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And here in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus gives us even more details about the time frame in which the kingdom of God was to be established. So in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, that is, they will not die, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Jesus said that the kingdom of God would come, that is, it would be instituted, it would be established, it would be set up, it would begin in the lifetime of some of the people that were there with him in the first century. So Jesus didn't talk about the kingdom of God being something that was thousands of years in the future. He talked about the kingdom of God being something that would be established within the lifetime, in that time frame, of some of the people that were standing there listening to him on that occasion. Now again, that shows that Jesus taught that the kingdom would be established in the first century. And notice that he also says in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, that the kingdom of God would come in a certain way. And the way in which the kingdom of God would come would be, as he said, with power. Now the kind of power that he's talking about here, he doesn't explain at this time. This verse doesn't tell us what kind of power he's talking about, but the rest of the Bible does. And so let's let the Bible unfold for us the meaning of what Jesus is talking about here, and let's let the Bible explain what that idea is. And we can do that by turning to Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts chapter 1. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, you'll find from the very beginning that Jesus is assembled with his apostles, and he's telling them to wait in Jerusalem and to wait there for the promise of the Father. Now, what was the promise that Jesus told the apostles to wait for after he died? Well, it's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 5, he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened when the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So remember that Jesus said that there were going to be people that were listening to him in Mark 9, verse 1, who would see the kingdom of God come with power. What kind of power? When would the power come? And how would the power arrive? Well, the Bible is explaining to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the power came when the Holy Spirit came upon these apostles. You will receive this power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, what was that an indication of? What did Jesus say about the kingdom and how it's related to, it's connected to, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon these apostles? Well, he says that it's going to come with power, and so when the power came, the Holy Spirit came, and the kingdom was established. Now, it's very easy, of course, to read in Acts chapter 2 to see how the kingdom was established, because it's very clear how this power came when the Holy Spirit came upon these apostles. In Acts 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So the Bible plainly says in Acts 2, verse 4, that the apostles were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They received this power that Jesus described. And so what was that an indication of? That was an indication of the establishment of the kingdom. Jesus said that it would come with power. Now we see that the Holy Spirit has come. Now we know that they've received this power. Now we know that the kingdom is going to be established in Acts chapter 2. And of course, Peter preached on that day as well as the other apostles. And the Bible tells us in verse 38 that Peter told the people how to be saved from their sins. He said to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In verse 41, the Bible says about 3,000 people were baptized. And as a result, in verse 47, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were saved when they complied with the conditions that Peter set forth. When they were baptized just as Peter said, they were saved from their sins. And when they were saved from their sins, they were added to the church. Now, the church is not spoken of as being in existence before this time. Jesus mentioned it, but it's not in existence until Acts chapter 2. So what has been established in Acts chapter 2? Well, we know that the kingdom has been instituted. It has begun in Acts chapter 2 because this is where the Holy Spirit came and brought this power that Jesus said would be a sure sign, a clear indication that the kingdom has come. The kingdom of God has been established. The church has been established. The kingdom is the church. The kingdom is already here. That's the first reason that we're giving as to why the premillennial idea is not true. The kingdom is already here. It's not going to be established sometime in the future. It has already begun, and it's been here almost 2,000 years. Now then, let's turn to a few passages in the New Testament which talk about the kingdom of God as being in existence in the first century. Not something that lies in the future somewhere, but not only something that existed in the first century, but also something that the people were in and a part of. Let's turn to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, And we're going to look at verse 13 of chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Now, Paul is expressing his gratitude to God. He's thanking God here in this section. And he's praising God for his goodness. And I want you to notice what he says in Colossians 1, verse 13. He says, "Who, that is God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So Paul didn't say that the kingdom is going to be established someday, that the kingdom is future. Paul said it's already here, and he said to these Christians in the church at the city of Colossae that these people were in the kingdom. Now, how could he say that they were in the kingdom if the kingdom had not yet been established at that time? And we're speaking of Paul's words that he wrote almost 2,000 years ago. The kingdom is already here. Let's turn next to Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. The Bible says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Notice the wording here. Look at it very carefully in Hebrews 12, verse 28. He said, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." He doesn't say we will receive a kingdom someday. He said that they were in the process of receiving the kingdom. Now, that means that they were in the kingdom. Other people were being added to the kingdom, and they were still receiving the blessings and the benefits and the knowledge of the kingdom that they were a part of. Now, another passage which plainly points out that the kingdom was established in the first century is in the book of Revelation. I want to look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And it's very interesting here that it is the book of Revelation that many people go to try to say that the kingdom is yet future. And yet, in the very opening words of the book of Revelation, the writer says that the kingdom was already in existence in his day. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, we read, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." Now, John said that I'm your companion. I am your brother. And where are you, spiritually speaking? John said, "I am in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ. And I'm your brother. I'm your companion in that kingdom." That means John is in the kingdom, and these Christians in these churches that he's writing to are in the kingdom. So the number one reason that we're giving in this lesson as to why the premillennial doctrine is not true, it is not biblical, is because the kingdom is already here. Jesus died for it. Jesus established it. And the Bible plainly says that it is in existence, and that kingdom is the church.